From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, January 28th. I'm Abby Larico. After Missouri voters in 2024 put the right to an abortion into the state constitution, Planned Parenthood sued the state of Missouri over its remaining abortion regulations. They and the state appeared to be on the same page about just one thing.
Besides, they actually seem to agree about what this case came down to, and that's what's common sense for women.
They disagree, though, on the definition of what's common sense. We'll break that down and look at the trial that wrapped up this week in Jackson County, coming up after this news on The Gateway. Street crews in St. Louis tried a new tactic this week as they worked to remove snow following the weekend's storm. Contractors began plowing side streets, something city leaders say they haven't done regularly after previous storms. Their goal is to clear a center lane on those streets to allow cars a safe path to drive. They're also encouraging residents to help neighbors who may need assistance digging out their cars, sidewalks, or driveways. Crews are working in 12-hour shifts to clear the snow and say they made significant progress yesterday because traffic was once again limited. However, that could change today as many businesses reopen and most area school districts plan to have students back in class. Hundreds of people marched through downtown St. Louis last night, protesting the killing of two people in Minneapolis this month. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley was at the demonstration put together by the Missouri Workers Center and their allies.
Protesters, bundled in coats and gloves, chant as they march from Market Street and Tucker Boulevard toward the Enterprise Center. Jocelyn Livia Poma was among the protesters, holding a sign that read, "The people united will never be divided," in Spanish. Her parents migrated to the U.S. from Peru and Ecuador, but she was born in the U.S. and has lived in St. Louis most of her life.
I have a dot on my forehead and uneducated people discriminate against me, and it's awful. My siblings and I were continuing this fight for our families, our generations. Our community is scared.
The group marched for nearly 2 hours before leaving the snow-drenched area. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
A Democratic member of the Missouri House wants to ban federal immigration agents from wearing masks. STLPR's Jason Rosenbaum has more on why Representative Ray Reed is hoping his legislation sparks broader conversations within the legislature.
Reed's bill would bar federal officials carrying out immigration enforcement actions from concealing their identity or masking their faces. Since Republicans control the Missouri legislature, it's unlikely Reed's bill will become law. But Reed says it's important for state Democrats to take a stand in the wake of the Trump administration's actions in Minnesota, Chicago, and Los Angeles.
Everyone knows that Democrats have an uphill battle in Jefferson City, but that does not mean we don't continue to fight the good fight while we're there, using all the power we have.
California passed a similar law last year, though it's in limbo after a lawsuit from the Trump administration. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Members of a Missouri House committee passed two bills Tuesday evening that would indefinitely extend the state's restrictions on transgender people. Nine Republican representatives voted in favor, and four Democrats were opposed. One bill would remove the 2027 expiration date from the state's ban on gender-affirming health care for transgender minors. That includes treatments such as hormone therapy and puberty blockers. The other bill would eliminate the sunset on the law that bars transgender athletes from competing in sports teams that align with their gender identity. Last week, the committee heard more than 5 hours of testimony on the bills. They will likely be debated on the House floor soon. A Missouri House committee heard hours of testimony last night over legislation that would legalize and regulate video gaming machines. As St. Louis Public Radio Sarah Kellogg reports, the legislation has its fair share of cheerleaders, as well as its detractors.
Lawmakers discussed the bill for about 3 hours. While more people spoke in favor of the legislation, it did bring out several naysayers. Some proponents of the legislation want it passed so there are clearer guidelines on what actions could be taken against illegal machines. The language on that right now is unclear. However, Jared Hankinson with the Missouri Chamber of Commerce said the bill does multiple problematic things at once.
It creates unequal regulation within the same industry. It retroactively legitimizes unlawful operators, and it expands high-risk gambling into vulnerable communities without adequate safeguards.
Last session, House members ultimately passed similar legislation with a tight vote before the bill stalled in the Senate. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
A Missouri woman who appeared on the docuseries Chimp Crazy and later admitted to lying about having a chimpanzee in her home is asking a federal appeals court to give her a lighter sentence. Tanya Haddix received an almost four-year sentence in August. That's well above federal guidelines. The judge decided she should be punished more harshly because her actions required the government to spend more money on legal proceedings and the crimes required a lot of planning. Haddix's attorneys argue there was not enough evidence in the court file to back up the claims, and they say the 46-month sentence is unreasonable. Two local Illinois lawmakers have introduced bipartisan legislation to modernize how the U.S. Department of Agriculture doles out loans to farmers. The bill would allow those with a 50% stake in a farm to apply for loans. Under the current system, a farmer or rancher needs to be the sole owner-operator. Just 8% of the youngest farmers fully own their land. That's according to the most recent USDA data. Farm Credit Council CEO and President Christy Seifert says these days it's common for siblings to co-own farms, and she says the change is a practical fix.
Very, very simply, it will help provide access to this much needed capital to help farmers, the next generation farmers, to get out and get in the field, do what they need to do to keep agriculture going in this country.
Republican Mike Bost and Democrat Nikki Budzinski, who both represent parts of the Metro East, have attached the legislation to the farm bill. Some East St. Louis schools are relying on international teachers to fill classroom vacancies. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed met one teacher and has this report.
Princess Jack Lee Roquero is a special education teacher from the Philippines, but for the next 3 years, she will be teaching at James Evan Elementary School in the East St. Louis School District.
I'm really more passionate on handling kids in a one-on-one setting, getting to know them better, getting to know what are their skills, what are their needs, and the areas to work on. So that's what I've been doing for quite some time now.
The district turned to international teachers after its struggle to staff classrooms, often relying on both short and long-term substitutes to teach science, math, and special education. The district plans to double the number of international teachers next school year as it struggles to recruit local talent from neighboring districts. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri voters opted to put the right to an abortion in the state constitution back in November of 2024. Shortly after that, Planned Parenthood sued the state over its abortion regulations. That lawsuit culminated in a trial in Jackson County Court that wrapped up Monday. Now, Judge Jerry Jung will decide whether Missouri's abortion regulations can stand. From our partners over at KCUR in Kansas City, Noah Taborda covered the trial and spoke with Noumin Ojiadine about what he heard.
Planned Parenthood made their arguments in this case 2 weeks ago. What did they say?
They really focused on the prejudicial and punitive approach that the state has taken to administering these laws. They brought up experts who discussed how many of these laws run contrary to standards of care and how, when in place, these laws can put women at risk.
And last week, the state of Missouri made its arguments. What did state attorneys say?
Their focus was largely on emotional testimony. They called witnesses, including women who regretted the procedure, many of whom had undergone it decades ago, but some fairly recently. They had experts who viewed the laws not as prohibitive of technically performing abortions, but as protective of women. They focused on a 72-hour waiting period and what information needs to be given to women before they can actually make a decision. They also focused on risks. They used highly debated and sometimes discredited studies to say that the number of complications relating to abortion was much higher than abortion providers were suggesting they were. And they even dove into the ethics of medicine a little bit, talking about whether abortion is ethical, when it's ethical, how much information needs to be provided in order to ethically perform the procedure.
And how did Planned Parenthood respond to the state's testimony?
They frequently challenged these experts' qualifications. They brought up those discredited studies. Some of these experts have had publications retracted or were disqualified in other cases.
And you were there for the closing arguments, which took place on Monday. What did the sides in this case say?
Right. The sides, they actually seem to agree about what this case came down to. And that's what's common sense for women. For the state, common sense means having regulations. It means having laws that make sure that they get certain types of information that gives them time to make these decisions and that ensures that abortion providers aren't unregulated, that they follow procedures that would ensure clean procedural rooms. And for Planned Parenthood, their view is that these laws aren't common sense, that what's common sense for women is the standard regulations on all healthcare, that it would hinder the trust between a provider and a patient, and that the regulations over how a facility must be set up go above and beyond restrictions on anybody else in the healthcare industry.
When is the judge expected to rule in this case?
The judge gave until April 10th for both sides to file post-trial briefs where they can expand on a few of the things that maybe they weren't able to get to in their case. That means that until April 10th, she won't be considering this evidence. And as we've discussed, it's 10 days of evidence that she has to go through. And then again, they're challenging several different laws, so she needs to rule on each one individually.
So how could the outcome of this case affect abortion access in Missouri?
Well, right now, procedural abortions, which is a quick medical procedure, they go in, it takes 5, 10, 15 minutes, and then they're on their way out. They'll check in again if they want to down the line. Those are currently being performed in Missouri. Medication abortion, however, is still on hold. Now, if the judge chooses to strike down all the laws, it would expand care. Procedural abortions would continue. Medication abortions would resume, but she could also choose to allow many of these laws to stay in effect. And if that happens, we could actually see a situation where abortion becomes more limited than it is now.
That was KCUR health reporter Noah Taborda speaking with Noumin Ujiadeen about the Missouri abortion trial that ended on Monday. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.